So what's on our agenda?
Well, I like to hang out with older people because you feel like you could learn something, but I don't know about this. It's, you know, if you could see the scene here, it's like high school. Mark's over here making ear, you know, his hands in his ears making faces at John, and it's, I don't know. Like that. Anyway, so we've got Jeannie Schwaller here because she's in the garden club. And Edith knows everything about everything. You can just say go and she'll talk.
She'll tell you most of it.
Until you say stop. And then Schreiber knows all this history stuff. He designed this great coin he's going to talk about. There's a tree on the back of it. And the profits from that go to the events to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States in our Cole County committee. I've got artwork all over the place. Hey, see that painting behind you? That's a Van Gogh version of the Missouri Supreme Court, and it's going to hang in Mary Russell's chambers at the Supreme Court in the next block. She hired me to do that. And the day that I started, on a Saturday a couple weeks ago, I had just outlined it, sketched it, and a family from Sweden was here.
Really?
You know, standing on High Street that day, I met people from Sweden, Iceland. It's International High Street here. And he said, I want to paint. And I said, sign your name on this. So I took a picture of him signing his name, which was Barrett. So hidden underneath the paint there. And I took a picture so she can have it forever. Because it's kind of cool. I'm just rambling now. Is it my turn to keep talking?
No, hand it off to Mark.
Here, Mark.
Former Councilman Mark Schreiber is with us, former Deputy Warden of the Missouri State Prison property. But tell us about that challenge coin you've got in front of you.
Well, this challenge coin is, of course, to recognize the 250th, and Cliff Olson and I actually designed this, and when we put it together, it's got quite a lot of interesting material on it. The outline on the border is all 50 states, and the state of Missouri is represented by a red star. The other states are represented by white stars. We have, of course, an eagle, our national symbol. Below the eagle is a banner that the eagle's holding in its talons that states liberty. Below that's the Hobson flag. And a lot of people actually think that the Betsy Ross flag was our official flag, but that's not true because the Betsy Ross flag didn't come to fruition until 1792. So this flag does have the 13 stars representing the 13 colonies, but they're placed on the flag, the field of the flag, or the cannon of the flag, more in the manner in which we would place stars today. So then it says America 250 below that. Of course, 1776 and 2026 will be our actual date that we recognize. And then on the reverse of the coin, that was the obverse side. On the reverse side of the coin, it states liberty, and below that is actually a liberty tree. And the idea for that tree, I actually got that from a tree that was located on the cemetery up on McCarty Street. And we had a huge oak up there, white oak, that had to be taken down because it reached its end of life. And when it was cut down, the conservation forester told the city that that tree had actually been there at the time of the American Revolution.
Wow.
So, you know, of course, it wasn't as big as it was when it came down. But so we've got the 1820 when the county of Cole was actually founded. And then, of course, 1821 on the other side of the tree, which indicates when Missouri became a state. And below that, there's a banner that says Cole County, Missouri. So these are beautiful coins. They sell for $10 each. And it's really a great keepsake to recognize the 250th of our actual county and of our nation itself. So it's, yep, you can buy them here at Jim Dyke's, or you can get them at other locations as well. So, you know, I think it's something you could get for your kids or yourself or your grandchildren, and pass it on down because it's a really a great keepsake.
It is a neat collectible. Talk to us a little bit, Mark. You know, your study of history over the years. Missouri and the Revolutionary War. I think the average person out there is probably, I don't know, they say, well, Revolutionary War, that was, you know, the original 13 colonies and all, and nothing happened out here in the hinterlands, which wasn't the case, was it?
No, it wasn't the case. And, of course, Cliff is well-versed on the Battle of Fort San Carlos. And we have an actual Sons of American Revolution chapter. Cliff was a state president, and I was a state president of Sons of American Revolution back in the 1996 through 98. I was a state president. And actually, that battle, which was up around St. Louis, that was the westernmost battle that was fought during the American Revolution. And we actually have a chapter in St. Louis, the Sons of American Revolution, the Fernando de Leyva chapter. So, you know, people don't realize that Missouri played a role in the American Revolution itself. So, that's something we need to recognize. And of course, we've got Revolutionary War soldiers buried all over Missouri as well. And people came west, that westward expansion, and of course, they came from the Ohio territory and everything, and then into Missouri, and from Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, on into Missouri. And St. Louis was the jumping off point. When we say gateway to the West, it truly was the gateway to the West. And a lot of those people back in those days, they used the river as a primary means of travel if they could get things together to do it. So
we knew so many of those from our history classes that so many of the Virginians came to Missouri in those
absolutely
old days.
So many people that are, if you look at the first 30 families that were actually settled Jefferson City, of which my wife's family, the Dunicas, were in the first 30 families. And if you look at those folks, they predominantly did come from Virginia and the Carolinas and Kentucky. And they were people that were associated. My wife's third great grandmother, who's buried up the church prison farm, her name was Philadelphia Pendleton Thomas Dunica. And her dad, she, of course, her maiden name was Thomas, but she was named Philadelphia because her uncle was Edmund Pendleton, who went to the First Continental Congress with George Washington. And they were so proud of the fact that these folks had their connection. That family, the Dunica family, have got people named America and Virginia and, of course, Philadelphia, and they were extremely proud of their connection with the American Revolution. And they brought it with them.
Let's hand off to Cliff Olson on the talk to Cliff a little bit about it, too. Cliff, you've been so involved with the history of Missouri and the U.S. and all. What should this 250th anniversary mean to some of our listeners out there?
Well, I think it's a great time for a celebration. It's an important thing that went on in our lives. You look at how we live and how we have the freedom to travel and the freedom to go, and you look at the rest of the world, and we see right now everybody clamoring to get into this country. I don't know if it's to overtake it or what, but everybody wants to live in America. If you recall back during the bicentennial, if you're older, that was 50 years ago in 1976, the country was pretty divided back then too, and I think that the bicentennial helped bring everybody back together. This time I don't know if it will, the 250th will do the same thing. It's hopefully it will. That's the important thing. You know, Mark had said something about the Battle of St. Louis, Battle of Fort San Carlos. It was kind of interesting. There's about 700 people who lived in St. Louis back then, and this fort was built on 4th and Walnut, and which is, you know,
have
close
to be a
to
really
downtown.
Small fort if they built it now, right, Cliff?
Well, it was about 30 foot. It was round. It was about 30 foot in diameter and about 30 to 40 feet tall. And they put some cannons. What happened was Fernando de Leyva, who was the captain, had heard a fur trapper had told him that the Indians and the British were going to come down from the north, from Detroit. And so they built this fort, this fortress. They were planning to do four, but they got one built. And there's pictures of it. It was around at one time when there was photography. But what was interesting is, so he only had 168 guys there, and only 27 were really regulars in his fortress after it was built, but in his encampment. And so there was an old French captain who lived in St. Louis named Valet, so he sent down to the St. Genevieve area, and they got a couple hundred more Frenchmen to come up and his two sons. So those almost 400 people with some of the militia that lived around the area were able to head off 1,000 Indians and British. And at the same time, they were also attacking over at Cahokia, which was an American settlement. And fortunately for America, it kept the British from controlling the Mississippi River. And that was key, because if they would have been able to control the Mississippi River, there's no telling whether we would have been from sea to shining sea, because you know, the French might have stayed control of this, or the British may have, and so that was a big battle that nobody knows about.
Cliff Olson is in with us, along with our guests, Mark Schreiber, Edie Vogel, Jeannie Schwaller, Jim Dyke in with us as well. We need to take a break this morning on KWS Saturday Morning Show. We are live at Cottonstone Gallery on High Street. Got some more interesting history things to talk about, and Jeannie has some gardening tips up her sleeve for us this morning on the KWS Saturday Morning Show Open Air.
Company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, and you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
A violent crime is committed every 24 seconds. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association exists to provide firearm education, to train you, and to give you access to self-defense liability insurance, so when the trouble comes, you're ready. Over 800,000 Americans trust the USCCA. There is an exclusive limited-time offer for radio listeners. Go to DefendFamily.com to get all the benefits of membership, plus a chance to win the firearm of your choice. Go to DefendFamily.com now.
Caldi's Coffee is now at Sam's Club with our newest blend, Roast 94. Celebrating our founding in 1994 and exclusive to Sam's Club members, this is high-quality, specialty coffee at an incredible value. Just $19.99 for a 2-pound bag. That's just 50 cents per cup, and it's packed with classic coffee flavor. Love iced coffee? It's amazingly smooth and sweet as a cold brew, too. Roast 94 Blend, available now at Sam's Club. Caldi's Coffee, 30 years of dedication to quality in your cup. Caldi'sCoffee.com.
If your business got hit by the recent storms, All Seasons Roofing has you covered. They specialize in commercial flat roofing systems, so they'll make sure the job gets done right. Their personalized process of putting together the right roof for your business guarantees you the best results. So if you get hit by the hail, get a hold of Mid-Missouri's commercial roofing experts. All Seasons Roofing.
All Seasons Roofing, ASR. All Seasons Roofing. We have you covered.
Don't settle for mediocre. Choose a mower that commands respect and trust in lawn care. Choose an Aaron's Gravely mower from Diamond R Equipment, just a 15-minute drive from Jefferson City. With a long legacy, Gravely Mowers delivers nothing short of excellence. When you choose Gravely, you're not just getting a mower, you're getting peace of mind with industry-leading warranties. Built to work the American way since 1956. Experience the difference of a Gravely mower today at Diamond R Equipment, your trusted Gravely dealer. Remember, chicks dig diamonds.
Hi, this is Melissa with Freeman Mortuary. People always ask me what it's like working at a funeral home, and it sometimes surprises them when I tell them just how rewarding it is. I'm honored to have the privilege of serving, guiding, and celebrating the lives of those who have entrusted me with their stories. It's a calling that I hold dear to my heart and one that continues to inspire me each and every day.
Creating meaningful ceremonies as unique as your loved one since 1961. FreemanMortuary.com.
Catching you up on all things Jefferson City. It's Hal Dooley on KWOS.
KWS, the Saturday morning show, open air, is live at Jim Dyke's Cotton Stone Gallery on High Street. I'm John Marsh, our host Jim Dyke along with us, and former city councilman Mark Schreiber as well, who's got a big event this morning, right?
Yeah, he's going to be out at River View Cemetery, where a lot of my relatives are, and Mark's not buried there. He'll be the one walking around. Mark, what are you going to do?
Well, actually, today I'm the president of the board out there, and so some of the board members were going to be out there and assisting people and meeting and greeting. And you said, well, Mark's not buried there, but I will be someday, so I've already got my stone up. But what I wanted to actually let people know is that the historic city of Jefferson, that we were going to have a tour of Riverview Cemetery approximately a week or so ago, and the weather didn't cooperate. So on June the 2nd, that's a Sunday, June 2nd, from 1 to 4 p.m., they are going to have a tour of Riverview Cemetery. They've got a lot of docents that have put a great number of hours in putting this tour together. And so we invite people to come to the tour. They can actually park over at Reed Millard's facility over there, and then they can come across the street. We can't allow cars to come in because since it's an active cemetery, we have to leave things open for those people that are coming to visit the family that are interred there. So we want everybody to come because we'll be talking about a lot of folks that had a great impact on the city of Jefferson, including Thomas Lawson Price, our first mayor, and Burr McCarty, and a whole lot of other very interesting individuals. So we invite everybody to come. It is a fundraiser for the historic city of Jefferson, but anybody that's 12 and under, they get in for nothing. So please come and support the historic city of Jefferson and have a good afternoon. The part of the tour that we're doing is actually on a flat surface, and it's paved, so they don't have to worry about chugging up and down hills and everything like that. So we invite you to come.
Mark, I had a question that Mike, I thought about you the other day when we were remembering our fifth anniversary of the tornado that blew through Jefferson City in 2019 and all of the damage that it did to your former place of employment when you were deputy warden at the old MSP prison back in the day. Are there any notables from the history of the prison who are buried at Riverview?
Well, I guess we could say by notables, there are some people that were wardens and deputy wardens, like Mr. McClung and Mr. Houchin, and some of those people that are buried there. Of course, they had a lot to do with the early industrial development of the city of Jefferson. But those would probably be the most notable individuals that are there. But you know, when you Mr. Tweedy, of course, is buried in the cemetery on McCarty Street. And Tweedy Footwear actually got its initial start inside the prison. And of course, recently the DNR purchased the old International Shoe Building, and International Shoe Company actually remained and came to Jefferson City because when they did away with prison labor, then the civilian staff that worked in those shoe industry inside the prison, or the five shoe factories in the prison, then they were able to stay on. So then that helped establish International Shoe Factory and Tweedy both in Jefferson City. So
talk to us about your take. You've watched this since the very early days before the city got their 30 some acres of the MSP prison site. We've seen the Saddle Tree factory come down over there, the damage that the tornado did to some of the cell houses and all. What's it going to look like when this is all done, and your best take on it?
Well, fortunately, the one thing that's going to happen is, I guess you could say the whole prison was historic, but you got to kind of pick and choose your battles. So the most historic of the buildings, the oldest and most historic buildings that are left, will be retained and kept. Housing Unit 2 was severely compromised. That's the one that you can see from Capitol Avenue. that was severely compromised by the tornado to the extent that it's structurally unsafe to even go into the building. So that's going to have to come down. The Saddle Tree Factory, which my wife's great-grandfather actually was a foreman at the J.S. Sullivan Saddle Tree Factory, the north wall of that building actually collapsed after the tornado. Was nothing but a pile of bricks, so that has already been taken down. But, you know, I'm glad that the, I guess a little maybe divine intervention in that the three most historic buildings that are left there are all right in a little center nucleus together, so that those three buildings and the gas chamber will be kept. So I just hope that whatever development takes place or whatever, that something positive comes out of it. And of course, they're due to start those new state labs along Chestnut Street. That's due to happen this summer. And with the fact that the International Shoe Building going to be used by DNR for offices, I'm just tickled to death that that building's being saved as well, because that was really a great building.
It's got quite the history, storied history. Dates all the way back to the Alamo, the MS prison site, correct?
The prison actually opened the very week that the Alamo was going on, a battle going on in 1836. And so I guess you could say, I refer to it in some of the articles I've written on it, that it was when it was an active prison with offenders there. It was 168 years old when we closed it in September of 2004. So it was the oldest continuously operating prison for adult offenders west of the Mississippi River. But now we're in its 188th year. So the prison has endured. It's still there. And it's 188 years old right now. So that's pretty old.
If you've never taken the tour and the days when Mark was emceeing the tour, it's quite the eye-opener if you've never been through and you think you know about Jefferson City history. For those of us who've been here for a long time, you don't until you take the tour.
Yes, and we really, I know that when we had our board meeting at the Convention Visitors Bureau this last Monday, we are already up to 16,000 visitors since March. And we had 5,100 students that have gone through. So we're kind of on track right now to be up and maybe surpass our 33,000 that was the top that we had prior to the COVID event and the tornado. So you know, I hope that people come, and it still seems to be a place of definite interest. So we encourage people to come whenever they can.
Mark Schreiber in with us this morning. KWS Saturday Morning Show open air is live at Cotton Stone Gallery on High Street with the whole crew. Mark, we appreciate you coming by, and we know you've got other events today. And we're hearing things about cicadas and fruit trees in mid-Missouri. We'll tell you what that's all about with Jeannie Schwaller when we come back on the KWS Saturday Morning Show open air. We're live at Cotton Stone Gallery.
Here's what's coming up on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
Hey, everyone here at Wake Up Mid-Missouri. Hope you're having a great Memorial Day weekend, and we can't wait to be back with you on Tuesday.
Trump is back in trial on Tuesday. We will preview the closing arguments for you.
Don't forget, there's still just a little bit of time left to register for that 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb in Columbia on June 1st. Check out the radio station's website for more information.
Wake Up Mid-Missouri with Randy Tobler. Weekday morning, 6 to 9 on KWOS.
Digging without having your underground utilities marked is like driving with your eyes closed. It's dangerous and irresponsible. Before you break ground, contact Missouri 811 online or simply call 811 to request a utility locate 3 working days before starting. Missouri 811 will coordinate with the utility companies who'll clearly mark their lines so you can avoid the hazards. Requesting a locate is smart, and it's the law. Safety is in your hands. Every dig, every time. This ad is brought to you by Missouri 811.
KWOS Saturday Open Air with Hal Dooley and the whole crew.
KWOS Saturday Morning Show Open Air Live. I'm John Marsh. Hal Dooley traveling this weekend. We're at Cotton Stone Gallery on High Street with a buddy, Jim Dyke.
Hey, what's up? Mark just left to go to the cemetery to help people who are decorating this weekend and whatever. He's the president. I didn't know cemeteries had a president. There you go. And Jeannie announced that she had planted a ginkgo tree out there. Jeannie, what does that even mean? What's a ginkgo tree?
Well, a ginkgo tree is native to China, but my grandfather's farm
was east of Jefferson City on St. Louis Road. And when I was a very little girl, they would take me up to where the old house was, and there was a huge ginkgo tree planted on that bluff. I have no idea who planted it. It had to have been planted by somebody that came up the river. But when the expressway was built, my grandmother sold soil, and the tree was destroyed. So when my father died, I planted a ginkgo tree there at Riverview Cemetery in memory of my father, Charles Knabel.
Well, ginkgo trees have nuts on them that they used to harvest in the old country, I guess.
Okay, ginkgos are, one tree is a male and one tree is a female, and the female has a fruit, and that fruit smells rather disgusting, but that fruit is used in Chinese medicine tremendously for all sorts of things, but it is a blood thinner, and it does, according to Chinese medicine, improve memory.
How about that? What were we talking about? Oh, wait. Jenny, talk to us about, you and I were talking off air before we went on, not to leave anybody in the family out of the discussion this morning, but about fruit trees and your cherry trees and the cicadas coming around, and you're drawing corollaries between the birds and the bugs, not the bees.
I have a very, very large cherry tree that is absolutely loaded with cherries right now. We've been picking for approximately a week, and there's probably another 15 gallons of cherries on that tree. But this year, with the cicadas, I'm seeing very little bird pressure on those cherry trees.
Wow.
So it looks as though the birds have been happier with bugs than they have been cherries. So that's been a good thing. And I was told to talk a little bit about gardening, and one of the things that I have always promoted is container gardening. And if you live where there's only concrete, you can still have a garden. And it's not too late to plant both tomatoes and peppers because they really like warm temperatures and warm soil. You won't have tomatoes by June 20th, but you will have tomatoes in August or September, which is a good time too. But gardening is coming back, and we have many programs in Jefferson City that support gardening efforts. University's Master Gardeners, and there's a couple of garden clubs. And people just, you drive around Jefferson City and you see lovely flowers in containers, and it doesn't mean that you can't garden if you don't have a 5-gallon bucket.
I think for a lot of people out there too, with number one, first of all, the pandemic, where people were stuck at home and, you know, looking for entertainment or something to occupy their time. And now with the economy pressures and all, that gardens are definitely, home gardens definitely seeing a rebound in Jefferson City and the surrounding area, aren't they?
I think so. And, of course, with this 250th anniversary, one of the things that we hope to do for the city of Jefferson and for Cole County is to encourage some planting of patriotic type flowers. I'd like to call them patriot pots, but that's my term, and encourage everybody to at least put one container out with red, white, and blue flowers to celebrate this great nation's 250th anniversary.
That's a neat idea. Talk to us about, maybe give us a quick overview of gardening things that folks need to know this time of year. Seeing people, present company included, kind of try to jump the gun at getting our plants in the ground.
It was very interesting to me because I drove to Kansas City the other day, and one of the crops that has been a commercial crop is corn. And you plant corn early, the corn seed has a tendency to rot in cold ground. So the hybridizers over the past 20 years have worked very diligently to crossbreed for cold hardiness in corn crops. And going to Sedalia, through the Sedalia area, the corn was already up 2 weeks ago, like 12 inches. And I was very, very surprised because you usually don't see corn of that height until after Memorial Day up to June 15th.
Sure.
So we're seeing a change there in the commercial parts of things. Also, just the interest in growing vegetables in and around Missouri has increased tremendously. The Boot Heel produces now a lot of peaches, which will be ready beginning about the middle part of June through August, and we'll see those in our stores around. So we don't have a lot of commercial production in Cole County, but all along the river, up a little west of us, we have commercial apple production. Up around Waverly, there's a number of orchards up there. So Missouri is still an agricultural state, and I don't think that people really realize where our food comes from. And as I always say, you may need a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or a policeman or a fireman once in a while. But three times a day, every day, you need a farmer.
That's it. What's the old line? If you don't like the farmer and the work he does, don't talk with your mouth full, right?
That's exactly correct, John. Thank you.
Jeannie, I know it's funny you talked about the hybridized corn and all that, and that was such, gosh, just when Funk's and all those companies and DeKalb and all of them got into that back in the, gosh, World War II era and all that, it was a big life changer for a lot of farmers. And I remember my Iowa-based grandpa talking corn knee-high by the 4th of July, and now we're talking head-high by the 4th of July.
And that's been a big switch. Also, traditionally, corn had one cob or one seed per plant. And that's another thing that over the years that they are now multiple cobs on that plant, which has increased the corn production. And then, you know, the biofuel industry, which we now have 10% ethanol in our fuels. If we choose to use a regular fuel, which has been a huge benefit to the Midwestern farmers, particularly in Iowa, Nebraska, up northern Missouri type thing.
What about the farmers? What do you hear from those folks you talk to, especially the local folks? And, you know, so many folks here don't have the luxury anymore of being full-time farmers. A lot of people work full-time jobs and they're still trying to hang on to the family farm or doing it from a hobby standpoint at all. And the economy has been tough, tough, tough on those folks.
Since I have cattle, it's been the last 2 years has been absolutely devastating with the drought. But we have to realize in this country, only 1.2% of the population of this country has an income, sustainable income, directly from farming. What you mentioned, there's a lot of people, you know, the school bus driver, the lady that works at the state, or is the school cook or whatever, they're hanging on to those 100 acres or 80 acres and trying to do something with it. That plays into our local economy. And I've always felt that Cole County never ever looked at agriculture as any kind of a revenue generator. But we sit here with Central Dairy being one of the largest milk processing companies in the state of Missouri. And I have been told that that's a processing plant. It has nothing to do with agriculture. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that milk came from putting water in some sort of a flavored chemical there. So I have always been very aggressively saying, hey, wait a minute. We have grocery stores that are agriculture. We have Central Dairy that's agriculture. And then we're very blessed in Jefferson City to have a number of agricultural organizations, both statewide, that are headquartered here. And we just don't seem to recognize the value of agriculture and food in our economy.
Yeah, that's a good point. We think of our friends over at the Poultry Association and the Soybean Council and all that.
Corn growers.
5 months a year, go to bat for the folks all across the state, right across the street over here at the Capitol, don't they?
And not only locally, but I mean nationally, because what affects Missouri legislation and a lot of times the national legislation comes from this Midwestern representation. So,
Jeannie Schwaller in with us this morning on the KWS Saturday Morning Show, open air, live. I'm John Marsh. We're with Jim Dyke and the whole crew here at Cottonstone Gallery on High Street. Let's hand off to former city councilman, our good friend, Edie Vogel. Edie, good morning.
How are you today? How's everybody out there?
Good. I think about you on the radio many mornings when we start talking about the whole Trump debacle and what what happened in the courtroom. And I think to myself going, yeah, what do you think Edie would say about all that? You've been watching this. You've been listening to it and all. Your take on this, and where is this all going to be when the smoke clears?
Okay, well, first of all, let me back up a little bit and start by saying, after everyone's discussion this morning, I know what I need to do, and that's to start drinking more smart water.
There you go. I wonder what company carries that locally.
It's a very good show this morning, and I've learned a lot from Mark and the prison history and the cemetery history and Cliff and the Revolutionary War, and Miss Jeannie has enlightened us on all of her knowledge and wisdom that she keeps up in her very smart brain about agriculture. And like I said, somebody like me, a city girl, I know nothing about it. So very good show. Now, to answer your question,
yes,
I will
ma'am.
Have to be truthful with you. The whole thing about Trump and the trial, I really have not been glued to the television or the any. I listen to you guys on the in faithfully in the morning, and you all have never have caused me to throw something at the radio because I agree
the
with
the day is young.
I agree with your host Randy and the young ladies that tune in, and then and they finally get to you usually, you know, and share what they want to say and ask you. And then there's, of course, Brian Houseworth, who's just as, you know, in tune to everything. And he's been off this week. I've missed him.
That's right.
He took
a little time off.
But I truly believe that this past week has been a turning point in that whole trial. And the national news media on the liberal side, I think they're starting to realize that this has been a mistake about all these charges being brought up against 45. So we'll find out. The give summation on Tuesday, and I don't think the jury will be out very long. And I think it's going to be a hung jury.
Interesting. Hung jury. Huh?
That means they're not all going to agree,
that's
correct?
It. You know, they have to convince 12 jurors.
Yes.
Not one or two or three or a majority.
And
you have to convince all of them.
That's just a feeling I have. And if not, if he gets found guilty, it's even more to his advantage because it'll go through the process of, what do you call it, when they move up?
Appeals.
Yeah.
And it's not going to, listen. When he went to Bronx, New York, and brought in 25,000 people, and the people were being interviewed by the non-media that is anti-Trump, and those folks, they were speaking from their heart. And then the news guy that was asking them the questions, asking them where they were from, because the rumor got around that all those folks were being bussed in.
Exactly.
And the people, you know, in the good old USA said, we live here. They've had enough of it. They've had enough of the people coming into their little community in the Bronx and telling their kids in the schools that they have to get out so they can put the, what's the technical term for the people that are crossing the border illegally?
Migrants.
Migrants. Okay, well, whatever you want to call them, I'm just calling them their lawbreakers, and it's got to stop.
I thought it was interesting. One of the guys they interviewed on Fox News from the Trump rally in the Bronx the other day and said, well, what do you think of Donald Trump? He goes, the only thing I got against him is he grew up in Queens, but yeah. I'm going to vote for him. You know?
I just think I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a conspiracy person, okay? So I think that some of the stuff that I listen to is coming true. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Trump is a saint and Trump is this and Trump is that. But I'm just telling you factually wise, 4 years ago, our country was in a lot better shape than what it is now. And that has to do with the leadership of the guy that's supposedly, if it's the Joe Biden or the second Joe Biden, whatever. And that's just, you're not going to convince me otherwise. And I still have freedom of speech and I can do this. And you want to cut me off today, go right ahead, okay? But I just can't see our country surviving. This summer is going to be is going to be bad.
Edie Vogel, former Jefferson City Councilman, with us this morning on the KWS Saturday Morning Show Open Air. We're live at Jim Dyke's Cottonstone Gallery on High Street this morning. Need to take a break, but maybe do a preview what we're going to talk about, kind of the elephant, not in the room, but right outside the room, the homeless situation that we have to deal with, especially you can see it alive and well in downtown Jefferson City. We'll take a break, come back with our guests on the KWS Saturday Morning Show, Open Air Live at Cottonstone Gallery.
Here's today's encouraging message from Pastor John King.
The difference in religion and relationship is trusting God to do what he says he will do. See, religion says, I'm going to come and I'm going to hear this story and I'm going to be inspired. Relationship with God says, I'm going to believe he is who he says he is, and I'm going to walk in faith right into the middle of that promise. And here's what I want you to get. The anchor of our soul is one that is immovable. Why? Because it is based on two promises. The one that God made, I will do this. And the one that says, I have fulfilled this.
Thanks for listening. Join us Sunday mornings at 9:15 or 10:45. For more information, visit our website at concordjc.org.
It didn't used to be like this. Your work days are starting to feel like work weeks, and you've got nothing left in your tank by the time you get home. On top of all of it, no one has been able to give you a solid answer as to why you're feeling like this. You know, it might be time for a second opinion. Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Ryan with Missouri Vein Care. I've been taking care of people with vein conditions for over 20 years. I've seen their struggles, and I know how much vein treatments help. Schedule your free vein screening at MissouriVeinCare.com and get back to normal.
This Memorial Day, let's honor our heroes with a feast to remember. Make your grill the star of the show with Steel's Fine Custom Meats. From juicy brats to tender pork steaks, Steel's premium cuts will impress every guest. And with Memorial Day coming, it's the perfect time to stock up. Visit Steel's Fine Custom Meats today and make this Memorial Day one for the books. Because when you grill with Steel's, you're not just cooking, you're grilling the best meat Mid-Missouri offers. Steel's Fine Custom Meats. Eat mo' meat.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013, 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Attention! Corporal Dooley is in the building on KWOS.
KWOS, Saturday Morning Show, Open Air Live. I'm John Marsh, Hal Dooley on vacay. We're at Cottonstone Gallery on High Street with Jim Dyke and a cast of thousands this morning. Jim, we're talking a little bit this morning about the homeless issue in downtown Jefferson City. You know, it's no longer kind of a deal like it's been for years and years. If you knew where to look, they were homeless, you know, but they kept them kind of hidden away in encampments and all. Things have changed down here. I mean, you've had people camped out in front of your business on High Street.
I haven't had anybody out here in front of mine, but nearby. I don't know who's homeless and who isn't. I know there's some panhandling that goes on. I've seen that from time to time, and my understanding is we have city ordinance against that. Yes,
I think so.
City council people here. But anyways, it doesn't do anybody any favors. It doesn't help the person, and it doesn't help the area. People come down and they're torn between, is this a legitimate person in need, or do I give them my $20 instead of taking my family out to eat or whatever? It's a confusing mess, and some people I've seen. Well, there was one example yesterday where somebody had eaten more before noon than I've eaten all week. And they ate very nicely. And that's obviously the only thing they had planned to do all day. So I don't want to sound mean, but come on. I've worked since I was 10 and even before that. So I don't really understand that. There's help wanted signs every place. Does that sound mean to say that?
No,
I don't,
not at all.
I think it's helping them or anybody.
I think to Cliff's question, you know, to Cliff, who's a former city councilman, Cliff Olson. Cliff, it's one of the situations we've covered so much on the air on the radio stations about the situation in Columbia and the city and DNR and all of them coming in and cleaning out the homeless camps and all. And we've heard some things where from law enforcement down here that the folks who feel unwelcome in Columbia have kind of made the journey down to Jefferson City from Columbia and points east and west.
Well, I've heard that from some that Jeff City welcomes them. There's some of the churches that are involved with Edie.
Well, I'm going to use the word enabling, and out on the street, some of the local citizens feel like that we have overstepped the boundaries of our philanthropy of giving away so much stuff. I use the word stuff, and I'm talking about food, clothing,
medical,
and phones, and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm not trying to be negative about it, but I think that we have invited our own problems into our community by being enablers.
Well, I think there's some truth to that, and I think the bottom line to most of this problem is the governments. We used to have mental health facilities around.
The key to it is their mental health.
Right. It's the mental health. And we used to have mental health places to help these people, and we don't have it anymore. And you can go with that, or you can go with that with the transgender fads that are going on now, or, you know, it can go on and on. But all of that is mental health issues.
I think for a lot of folks who can relate, I know there's some, we've heard things anecdotally. I've had a friend's wife and a middle school daughter who were accosted and had some inappropriate things said to them while they were just trying to go to the Missouri River Regional Library gym to check out a book and all. We've had people have some, I don't know if confrontations is the right word, but some pretty strong panhandling of, you know, when people were trying to do business uptown, at the courthouse, individuals camped out on the grounds of the Cole County Sheriff's Office and all. So the homeless issue is an issue in Jefferson City, isn't it?
It is. It's not specifically downtown. I've seen them all over at the overpasses to some of the highways here in town and Walmart, different places, whatever. And you want to help people in need, and that's part of the problem is there's an awful lot, in my opinion, an awful lot of people who are in want more than they're in need. They want to have free stuff, and they want to be given a free meal and all this, whatever. They want it. I don't know. I don't understand it because I've worked forever. Like I've said, literally forever. And I like it, and I like the work. And if the job doesn't work out, I'll grow my own garden, which I do anyhow, and grow my own food. It just don't see how it gets to be a problem exactly. But anyways, I want to say something about my friend Jane. My friend Jane and her husband, Bobby Schaus, are celebrating 30th anniversary of this group they've started called Sports Crusaders 30 years ago, and it's a ministry where they use basketball to teach kids skills and proper behavior and disciplines and things that relates to what we're talking about. And so that would be 30 years they're celebrating this weekend. And there's a little bit of a thing that she's not real happy about, something called esports. I don't know that much about it, but it sounds like a bit of a gambling type connection.
Video games is what it is.
And
competitive video games that we even have colleges issuing scholarships to e-gamers.
Yeah, well, in her mind, it's in some way it's a gambling of some sort, and being, you know, of a church background that's opposed to gambling. She's not real happy about that. But anyways, congratulations to Jane and all the efforts she put in. She's helped a lot of teenagers and a lot of people that are not on the street. They're out using their skills that they learned. You learn things in basketball and training and discipline that you have to do
this. Showing up for practice.
Just basic stuff. Like, you know, I had to call Cliff 5 times to get him out of... I lied. I just called once and I woke his wife up. And I'm going to hear about that. Sorry, Andrea. But anyways, hey, what time is it?
It's about that time, but I had another question for Edie.
Here, Edith.
Edie, as far as the city council goes, you've watched the new folks come on board, the new crew over there, and you've always been a good, even in your time when you weren't on council, a watcher of what's going on at City Hall. Would you give us maybe a letter grade where
we're
at? You
want the Cliff Note version? I do believe that once, they've only been elected a month, okay? And so, the voters spoke, small majority of the voters spoke, which is a lot of the problem here, that the people don't want to participate in municipal elections, and that makes it kind of tough, okay? But I do believe that that there is still hope. The whole idea of the last election, and I'm going to use the word partisan, is correct. We have, in my short history span of following city politics, this last election has never been more partisan than what it was this time around. And I don't know if that's because of the national trend. Now we're past it all, and the people are saying, no, we still got to stay nonpartisan. Nonpartisan has nothing to do with people being on the city council, and I totally disagree with that, because you have to understand that people that run for office, they have a political philosophy that's in their heart and their soul, okay, and they can't separate that sometimes from what they really need to do when it comes to making a decision. So I think give them a chance, give Mayor Fitzwater a chance. I think the proposal about the River Park, whatever they're trying to do down there, they almost have to do it, because otherwise they lose that big chunk of money, and that would not make any sense. You would be going, well, why are you go ahead and look at it, plan it, look at it, see if you can get it done. I'm not objecting to that, but I would wish that they would fix our streets, you know, start a little bit more being active on trying to repair some of our main thoroughfares into the city, namely Madison Street, High Street, Main Street. You drive your cars on that, and it's like going down a washerboard. Thank you for asking me the question.
Well, Edie Vogel and Cliff Olson, Jeannie Schwaller, Mark Schreiber, and our host, Jim Dyke at Cotton Stone Gallery in High Street. It's been a fun morning here on KWS, the Saturday morning show. Open air, and Hal will be right back with us next Saturday on KWS. We'll see you Monday morning on Wake Up Mid-Missouri. We're live at Jim Dyke's Cotton Stone Gallery on High Street on KWOS.
News Radio 950 and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.